Welcome to my monthly podcast series titled Becoming a Sage. My name is Jan Fried, but you can call me Dr. Jan. In this series, I interview people to seek wisdom about living and leading a life on purpose. My passion is helping people find purpose and meaning in their lives on a daily basis for the rest of their lives, a concept I call breadcrumb legacy. I'm also on a mission to retire the word retirement. We are not retiring from life, but we're moving on to something else. And I believe it takes time and intentional thought to successfully move on to what's next in life. Today, I'm interviewing John Weiss. John Weiss is a full-time artist and writer. He's the author of An Artful Life, Inspirational Stories and Essays for the Artist in Everyone, and The Cartoon Art of John Weiss. John is a retired police chief. I'm a 26-year law enforcement veteran. During his police career, he moonlighted as an editorial cartoonist for several newspapers. A popular jogger, blogger. I don't know if you jog or not.
I go for runs with my dogs.
Okay, a popular blogger. John often illustrates his blog posts with whimsical cartoons. His writing explores life lessons, personal development, and the creative arts. He lives in Nevada with his wife and son and two studio dogs. So for more information about John, please refer to the bio posted at the end of this podcast. Welcome to the series, John.
Thank you, Jan. It's a pleasure.
And I will say I discovered John and I read all your blog posts. I'm a subscriber. He does have wonderful cartoons and I discovered him on reading medium.com. I've actually started writing on Medium too, only about 6 months ago, and I'm enjoying this platform. I don't have as many followers as John, but I'm learning a lot. I'm learning a lot from reading others. And so I wanted to interview John because we both share the same passion of this whole idea of life lessons, personal development, and I love your creativity. And I also will say that I love how you integrate quotes into your blog posts. And many of those quotes speak to me. So here we go, John. I've got several questions.
Sure.
So you were a police chief, and then you became a writer and artist. Tell us about that, because, you know, I write a lot about transitioning, you know, what's the next phase of life like, what's that look like, and I think you've done just a great job of, I'm not so sure I like the word reinvention, but you've done a repurposing kind of, like, or re-inspiring yourself in a new area. So tell us about that.
Sure. Well, it's funny you use the word reinvention. I think I haven't so much reinvented myself as just... brought back to the forefront something that was a passion since I was a kid. My father was an administrative law judge, and I spent my whole childhood drawing, and I wanted to be an artist. He said, John, that's great, but have something to fall back on. Mm-hmm. So I went off, and he wanted me, I think, to become an attorney, but I ended up studying criminal justice and went to grad school and got a master's degree in criminal justice and went into law enforcement. And I spent 26 years in the profession. It was a wonderful profession. I learned volumes about people and humanity. But all along, I never abandoned my passion for art and for writing and painting and drawing cartoons. I drew for local newspapers, my cartoons. Then I had started studying fine art, landscape painting in Idaho with Scott Christensen. And about the 10th year of when I was police chief, my 10th year as police chief, I was approaching 52 years old, and I just decided that I didn't want to wait any longer. I wanted to transition to doing art and writing full time. And so I could have maxed out my pension for another 5 years and had even more of a pension. I decided to retire a little early so that I could dive into my creative life full time. So I planned, and I talked to my wife about how we should do this, and we discussed options. We ended up deciding to relocate to Nevada, where there's no state income tax and homes are a little more affordable. And my son wanted to go to school here in Nevada. And so we made the jump and we had friends here in Nevada and we moved here and I dove into writing and painting and cartooning full time.
Yeah.
And that's where I am today.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I did go on your website and I love your cartoons, but your paintings are just fabulous.
Thank you.
Are you represented by some galleries there, or how do people buy your artwork?
So they've bought it on my website. That's been okay. The only source in the past. I make contacts with some galleries in Carmel when I lived in Northern California. I often went down to Carmel, which has a very vibrant art community and galleries. One of my favorite places and a lot of my favorite artists who share their work there. My original plan before retirement was to start painting full-time and become just a full-time fine artist. I really didn't plan to be a writer so much. Oh. I just enjoyed blogging and writing, and it sort of took on a life of its own. Uh-huh. So much so that it has intruded a bit on my painting, and that's something that I'm trying to rebalance right now. Because the original plan was to start producing more. The problem with galleries is you really need to produce a lot of artwork. You need to provide inventory. And so I didn't have a lot of inventory because I'd sold paintings off my website. But when I was working full-time as a police chief, I was juggling work, life, exercise, and my art and writing. So I can only produce so much painting. But the funny thing happened, sometimes you think one thing is going to happen in your life and then all of a sudden you pivot. The writing started to take off more, and I started writing on Medium.com, which is a great platform with sort of a built-in audience, which really helps you get viewers faster than just, you know, blogging in the wind. And when my work really started taking off on Medium is when I paired my illustrations, my cartoon illustrations, with my articles. Before that, I was using stock photos like everybody else and writing my articles, and I'd get some views, but not a lot. But it really was the combination of the cartoons with the writing, and then writing more. And then next thing I know, I'm starting to make an income on Medium from their partnership program.
Yeah, I'm in that too. Yeah. And I'm not going to ask you how much you're making, but I will reveal what I made the last time I got paid. Uh-huh. It was like $1.05. Well, so I have a lot of room to grow. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting. I lost your visual, but I'll just keep talking and eventually get it back. It's interesting that when I started writing on Medium, I didn't have much of income coming in either. Uh-huh. But what happened was I started doing the cartoons, and I started writing consistently, and I started building the following. Mm-hmm. And it's just like everything. It's just consistency and time. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, in 2019, I started seeing more and more income come in. And in from 2020, it really grew thousands and thousands of dollars each month. Now it's starting.
Wow, that's great.
Which was wonderful. Now, because of this terrible virus we're in right now, I'm seeing less readership. And I don't know if that's because people are at home and they have other things occupying their time. But I'm not seeing the numbers I saw in the last few months for some reason.
Now I tend to get your blogs on in my email now. Mm-hmm. So does that mean you get less income on Medium?
No. So what I do is I cross post my articles from my website at johnpwise.com to medium.com. So you can find the articles on either
I know, website. But how will you get, should I be reading you on Medium so that you get more income?
Well, I see what you're saying. Yes, if I wanted to generate a few more eyeballs on my articles, if I were smart, when people sign up from my newsletter,
yes,
I'd be smart to direct them when they get my newsletter. Because when I send out my newsletters, I send the beginning of an article and then with a link to read the rest.
Right.
I used to send the whole article in an email, but I found it was easier and less time consuming to just send it to the link. And it also drives traffic to my website.
Right.
But if I was smart, I would send people to Medium because then their algorithm, you get paid based on how long people spend reading your articles on Medium.
So I think you should, like, for instance, I'm a good example that I think you should, because now that I get them in my email, I'm not reading you on Medium.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's true. Because what you're doing is you're clicking the link and you're going to my website.
Yes.
But that also drives traffic to my website. I've toyed with the idea. The one thing I like about driving readers to my website is it's easy for them to comment below the article. Whereas on Medium, it's a little more confusing. People have to scroll down and find the area that for comments, and it's a little less. I've driven people to Medium before, and I had far fewer comments because people got confused by their commenting system.
Yeah, now there's just a lot to learn.
There is.
So, well, okay. Thank you for your tips there. So your writing explores personal development, life lessons, as we mentioned. How did you get into that? And then the follow-up question is, what are some of the main life lessons that you'd want to share with people that you've learned?
Sure. Well, the way I got into it was I always enjoyed writing, and I've always been a reader, and my wife's a reader, and we have a big library. And our idea of a great afternoon is going to the bookstore and buying a bunch of new books and, you know, going to the library and finding new books. So I think anybody who enjoys writing usually enjoys reading, and reading is what informs our writing.
Yes.
Also for me, my writing has been informed by nearly 26 years in law enforcement, where I got to see just about everything from, you know, the terrible tragedies to heartwarming moments in people's lives and everything in between. And so I've used my experiences in my law enforcement career to inform a lot of my writing. Also, my experiences with my family and my father, who I mentioned was a judge, but also was a polymath and a very well-read man, an historian, a weekend painter. But he was just a remarkable human being, and I learned so many life lessons from him. I'm still writing about them in my articles today.
Mm-hmm. I can tell that your dad was very influential, yeah.
He was definitely very influential. So that's sort of how I got into the writing, was from reading and from my life experiences. Now, what was the second part of your question?
The second part is, you know, what would be some life lessons? I mean, you know, yeah. I read your blog, and honestly, I get something out of each one of them. So just off the top of your head, sure. You know, my audience tends to be people 50 plus probably, and, mm-hmm. you know, looking at making a life transition, some people, you know, moving out of the workforce. What would be some main life lessons that you've learned that you'd want to share?
Well, I know that for me, I often write about how it's so important to have a passion to throw yourself into. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people, you know, their work may have been all consuming. Some people define their identity by their title, by their work. They were a doctor, or they're a pharmacist, or whatever it might have been, attorney. And so, and some people have a hard time retiring because they're wrapped up in their identity. Even my dad, after he retired, we kept calling him the judge because uh-huh. he was a judge for so long. He's the judge. So I think a lot of people struggle with making that transition, and it's really important during the working years that you have a hobby or passion that you can throw yourself into when you're not working. I did that with the painting. And I write about that quite a bit, about the importance to have that. And then when you retire, you really need to set up your life so that you can take advantage of that passion. Now, some people don't know what that passion is. They may have to explore. And then mm-hmm. I would say, then you need to go out and look at taking classes, take online classes, join groups, meet with other people that have similar interests. Maybe you're a weekend gardener and you've never thought about exploring that further. And there's ways to find other people in online groups. You can do that. The other life lesson I write about a lot that probably applies more to the working years than retirement, but is emotional maturity. Mm-hmm. And I wrote about that a lot. Just recently I wrote about that because I found in my career a lot of people that made poor decisions because of their emotions, where they would make bad decisions because they were angry about something, or they didn't know how to handle their emotions. And then their emotions would defeat them, and bad things would happen in their lives because they were not emotionally mature.
Yeah.
And I still think emotional maturity follows over into retirement too. You have to make sound decisions and take responsibility for your life. You can't expect your spouse or your family or your friends to entertain you and be the sole person to entertain you. You have to decide what you want to do with your life when you make this transition. Mm-hmm. It was easy for me because I always had a love of the arts and writing. But I think for some people, they have to figure out what that passion is. And they may discover that by travel, by joining clubs. You may have to look around a bit. But don't expect your spouse or your children or your friends to lead you down that path. You need to do it for yourself.
Yeah. No, I think that's excellent. You know, people are talking a lot about the silver linings in this current pandemic, the opportunities. What do you think about that?
I think that it's healthy to look at the positive in any negative crisis. There's always silver linings if you look for them. It's hard to sometimes because it can be so overwhelming when we see people that are losing their lives and so much tragedy going on and so much uncertainty and fear. But I have been talking about this with friends a bit, and I've written a little bit about it. The silver lining for me, I think, is it's given us a chance to put a pause in our lives. We're all at home. We're quarantined. We're reading more. We're burning through putting on benders through Netflix, you know. But it also gives us a chance. This gives us an opportunity to think about our lives and where we want to go from here. I've seen some online writers that are making changes. I've been thinking about some different things that I want to maybe do with my online business going forward, because I think, you know, we only have one life to live. So how do we want to spend our time? This crisis and this reminder of our own humanity, our mortality,
right,
is a good chance to sort of reevaluate everything. And
right,
then make some choices. And I think your listeners would benefit them to write down, you know, what do they want to do with this next chapter in our lives as we recover from this crisis? Because we will. We'll move forward.
Yes.
We'll get through it. History has shown we've been through this before with the Spanish flu. And so we'll get through it. But this is a good opportunity to reconnect with our families, to prioritize that more, to slow down, which I'm a big believer in. Mm-hmm. Being more mindful in our lives, more intentional. These are buzzwords we hear a lot online, but there's a lot of value in them. So
right,
I've been taking a lot of long walks, thinking more, reading more, taking more time to read. It's been very enjoyable to me.
Yeah, almost therapeutic, you know.
Yes.
Great, John. Well, as I mentioned in the introduction, that I've created this concept called breadcrumb legacy. So I'm really
wonderful
into legacy work. And when I use the word legacy, what's the first story or impression that comes to your mind? And how would you define legacy? What's it mean?
It probably means different things to different people. I think it's the culmination of many of our life experiences, of who we choose to be, and the kind of actions we take in our lives and the way they affect other people. I think, you know, David Brooks wrote a book a while back I read that was talked about your second mountain. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was really, I really enjoyed that, because what he talked about is our first mountain, you know, we're more egocentric and we're trying to figure out how to be successful. We want to, you know, be recognized in our disciplines, our fields, and have success both financially and with our reputations. But when we get to the top of that mountain, whatever career that may be, and we look around and all of a sudden we're dissatisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start climbing back down into what he called the valley, and then trying to figure out what our second mountain is. And I think our second mountain is what legacy is all about. It's really thinking deeply about, what do I want to do with this second chapter of my life? What do I want to achieve? And that's where I think you see people, and it's usually people when they're near retirement age, because they're more mature and they've mm-hmm. been through so much of their early careers. Now they're thinking about how to give back, how to help other people. I think a lot of legacy deals with that. When I think about my work I'm doing now, as proud as I am of my law enforcement career and the people I helped, I feel like my legacy, more so than my police career, is the writing and the artwork that I'm doing now, and my efforts to try to touch people, to share poignant stories with them, to uplift them, to encourage them, inspire them. I think when we reach out and we don't think about it, you know, when we focus on ourselves, that's a very small universe.
Mm-hmm.
When we look beyond ourselves and how we can touch other people in whatever way we feel we can best use our talents, then I think we're talking about legacy more.
Mm-hmm. No, I would totally agree. I love that. What do you think hinders people gets in the way of maybe creating the legacy they desire, or even leaving a legacy that they want?
I think sometimes it's self-doubt,
mm-hmm.
it's fear. Stephen Pressfield writes about, you know, resistance, about how I'm going to write that great American novel, but somehow, you know, I just can't sit down and start, and I end up watching TV or watching cat videos on YouTube. So sometimes our fear and resistance prevents us from really chasing what we really want to do. I think also you really have to learn how to believe in your own heart and listen to your own soul a bit as far as what you want to do. I've been through this. I think we all go through it. We start, if you're a writer online, you start worrying about how many people are following you. And then the problem is that you may not be writing your most authentic work.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to start with that. The work you have to do has to please you. It has to feel right. So I think fear and resistance is a big barrier. Sometimes it's relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes people, you know, you retire and maybe half your career you spent away from your spouse half the day, and now you're home. Now you're home full time, and maybe your spouse wants to spend more time or has different ideas about how you're going to spend your retirement than you do.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have some good conversations about how to strike a balance and how to make that work.
Yes.
And that can sometimes prevent people from maybe pursuing their legacy. You know, if your husband says, hey, I want to travel the world when we retire, and you said, well, you know, I really want to work at a food bank and give back to my local community where I've worked for 25 years. And, you know, so that may be a conflict that holds people back too. You have to find how to balance that, come up with compromises.
Yeah, no, that's true. Well, our time is coming to an end here, unfortunately, and I've loved talking with you. And I always like to close with, what else should I have asked you that you'd like to share? What do you think, you know, like maybe some of the best words of wisdom from some of your blog posts or?
Oh gosh. It's always a blur to me trying to remember everything I wrote, you know? I would just say that I think it's so important that, and we've heard this before, but I think it's true. You need to listen to your own heart. If you're an artist or a writer, whatever creative passion you have, listen to your own heart. Don't be swayed by what other people tell you you should be doing. Don't try to emulate somebody else and then just ape what they're doing. You can be inspired by other creative people, but then go beyond that and create the work and the legacy that feels right for you.
Yeah, no, that's perfect, John. Well, you've given us a lot to think about. And the emphasis in this series is on learning how to make the rest of life the best of life. Perfect. So may the rest be the best for you, John.
Thank you, Jan. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.